You're listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 14. This is your manual to becoming the amazing homeschool mom you were called to be. All right, welcome back, everybody. We are here for episode 14.
Woohoo! We're so glad to be back again.
We want to thank you guys for all the very nice reviews, and people are leaving us all 5 stars. So, like,
yes,
you're 5 stars in my heart.
Thank you, guys. Awesome. We are loving reading your reviews, and we appreciate each and every one of them.
Yes, absolutely. And all the DMs we get on Instagram.
Yes.
Like, you guys are the greatest. So thank you. Yeah. From the bottom of our heart, thank you. All right. This whole episode is just 100% for you. You have asked, and here we are going to answer. It is a full Q&A podcast where we have just taken all the questions we have from our, what's it called? Podcast, like,
yeah.
iTunes. Thank you.
From iTunes and from Instagram and wherever you guys are following us. We're using those questions you've asked us and making a whole episode out of it today.
So we are really excited. We want to mix this type of episode in probably every maybe few months, six months or something. So keep the questions coming so we can answer them as thoroughly as possible.
Yeah.
You can just answer a little bit more talking than you can typing.
Right.
So
yeah, definitely. So our first one, the first question is, I will only have one child I plan to homeschool when he gets to that age, and I will not be having more children. A lot of the advice you have is great, but it pertains more to larger families. Do you have any advice or tips for teaching only one child?
This is such a great question.
It is a great question because both of us have multiple children. Megan has a larger family, and I mean, 4 kids is good sized as well.
Right.
And so it seems like most often, and most of our friends also have large families. So that's where our experience comes from. But we do have some tips for you and some ideas to help you and those of you that are teaching just one child.
Yes. And we do actually have in our co-op last year, we had a mom who had just her youngest child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Her other kids were grown up and she had one child and she's homeschooling. I know people who have other kids in school, so they're only homeschooling one child at their house.
Right.
So it's totally doable.
Uh-huh.
And you can have a lot of success with it.
Yeah. So a couple of tips that we thought of, I would suggest, you know, if you just have the one child to do a lot more social activities with them, you can join a co-op or schedule in some planned friend time with them so that they're for sure getting some interaction outside of just you. We all need that. Nothing's wrong with you, but we all need a little break from just the one-on-one. Every so often.
Absolutely. It's also what will be fun about one kid though, is they get one-on-one attention.
Yeah. It's such a good benefit. If you think about in school, there's going to be classrooms of 30 or more kids sometimes and how little one-on-one instruction they would ever get, if any. And so those kids that are just being taught, you know, just the one by just their mom, what an amazing blessing it is for them and how well they're going to learn. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And you can really follow their passions.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that they're interested in. Whereas with the large family, if I'm just doing a read aloud, a lot of times my books gravitate towards boys because we're predominantly boys in my family. And so sometimes the girls do feel a little gypped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we read a book about love or rescue or something that's not boogers, right?
Like, right.
And so you can totally tailor it to that child's interests and gender.
Yeah. And you can really tailor your whole instruction to them. And one kind of nice thing with a larger family, you're going to have to be teaching multiple kids and multiple grade levels at once. And with one child, you don't have to worry about that. That cuts out that whole problem. You won't even have sibling fights going on. So that's kind of awesome. And I am jealous of that. But you can really tailor everything to their needs and their desires and their wants. And that's a pretty amazing benefit.
Yeah. And so I think our biggest thing would be to add in the social time.
Yeah.
Extracurricular activities, play dates, that kind of stuff. Whereas ours, it's like you have a built-in friend, go play with your sibling.
Right.
That you would probably, that would be the one area you'd probably have to just look a little bit more for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so definitely. Thank you for that question.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Okay. Our next question. Can I work and homeschool? Karin, can you work and homeschool?
Well, I'm doing it right this minute. That's the cool thing. We were both saying that both of us are doing that. We're working, but we're working from home, and that might be a little different than, well, it's definitely a little different than those of you that are working outside of the home. So it is definitely possible.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a few tips. Yes. To help you through that.
For me, I've created office hours. Mm-hmm. And there's a lovely sign on the door that said, Mama's working, please go away. I love you. Love Mom. Right?
Yeah.
And so that is my time that I just go a few days in the afternoon, probably 3 days a week. Yep, it is 3 days a week. I had to think about that. 3 days a week in the afternoon that it is just my office time, that it's not a time for school, that they have other siblings that they can help with. So it is set aside time. Mm-hmm. That is my working hours.
I do it a little bit differently. I work early in the morning when my kids are not up. And then I also have my computer where I work on my computer almost exclusively, just right in the middle of our homeschool area. So while my kids are doing things, I can just hop on and, you know, work for 10, 15 minutes here and there as it's convenient. And so that's kind of the way I work. But also we have a pretty set routine for our school time. So I know that I'll be done by, for the most part, a certain time. And so I know I also have the afternoons free where I can work as well. And so that's how it works for me. But another tip is to have curriculum a little more streamlined that they can do a lot of on their own. And we've talked also about teaching your kids to be independent learners. Mm-hmm. So the more you can do that, the more they're capable of working on their own without your help if they need to.
And I'll add in too, since I have a baby, what I do with him while I'm working, because the other kids are older and can take care of themselves. But obviously my 2-year-old is not making himself lunch or putting himself down for a nap. So one of my sons, and I think I have talked about this before, my son Joshua is right at that age where nobody really wants to hire him, but he wants a job and wants to get money. So I hired my Josh to babysit. And so I pay him not well, but it's a lot for him. Right. And he's at the house. So
yeah,
but anyways, it's super helpful for me. And, he knows that he watches the baby for those couple of hours. He plays with him, changes his diaper, puts him down for a nap. And it works out great for both of us because I know the baby's watched after and he can make a few bucks.
Yeah, that's great.
We also have friends who have done, homeschooling while they work and they hire out a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a really great option, especially if you are making, making more money than I am.
Yeah. Where you can afford to do this.
Yeah.
So if you could hire in personal tutors for your kids for different subjects, so they're still being taught at home. You could also hire in, you know, meal plan cooking services,
so
like a chef.
Yeah, our friend hired a chef. And so her kids would cook with the chef. And so it killed two birds with one stone because it was meal prepping for the family. And her kids were learning this fun cooking skill.
Right. Yeah.
But we've had friends hire out. So cooking, languages, instruments, art.
Yeah.
I believe science.
Yeah.
That they've hired people out for. And it's totally worked for them.
Yeah. And that takes a lot of the load off of you and a lot of the responsibility off of you so that you have more time to work.
We also have one other friend and she's been homeschooling for a while. And I think that's part of the reason this works so well, but she had a semester where she had to work 40 hours a week and she was working out of the home, but she was full on working. Mm-hmm. And, she kind of just gave him this feast of knowledge that she just set out books and each month she rotated them, but that was about the capacity she had. And she said they excelled so much because it was this kind of hands-off with Mom. They weren't being pushed to do anything.
Yeah.
So it kind of was an unschooling method.
Yeah.
But she just kind of said, Mom has to work a lot right now. And they were totally understanding. They did their math on their own, their reading on their own, everything on their own.
And she does have, she has been doing it for a long time. And so she has a pretty good routine in place. So her kids knew what was expected of them at this point. I think doing that your first year of homeschooling might be a little more challenging.
Yes, because you have to establish how to become an independent learner.
Right. And then what else? Oh, using online classes, you know, any online classes that you can do to take off the burden of you teaching the classes is another good benefit that you can have. And
And you can totally do it. You can totally have your cake and eat it too. Because why would you want cake and not eat it? That's weird. Unless it's gross cake. All right. Next question. And I think I have this. This one's kind of a concern. And I know I had this in the beginning too, but I feel like I need to know everything.
That one kind of made me laugh a little too, because I think I've had those fears many a time. I still have those fears with my blogging. I feel like I need to know every subject to be able to share with you guys those things. And obviously I never will and I never can and nobody ever will.
Right.
And the best part one of my most favorite parts about homeschooling is learning right alongside my kids. Yeah. So there's going to be so many things that you're teaching your kids that you're learning too. And that's okay.
Which is kind of fun because you're excited.
Yeah.
Like, did you know? And there's this lot more fun and excitement with
yeah.
it. And like, we're in the age of internet.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to know hardly anything.
That's
like,
so
you
true.
Google that business.
You don't even have to know your own phone number anymore.
Yeah. I don't even know my kids.
I don't either.
It's just under their face. But you don't have to. Like, you
yeah.
Google it when someone right. says, "Hey, mom, I wonder, do you know?" And I was like, "No, but the internet does."
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not just sending my kids to the internet all the time. They're like, "Do you know when Napoleon did the Louisiana Purchase trade?" Like, 18 something.
but also just along the line, if you have a good curriculum, it's going to just guide you right through any of those things. You know, if you have the books you need, it's going to help you, and you're not going to need yeah. to know everything. It'll give you a step-by-step. It'll give you a teacher's manual. It'll give you all that you
yeah.
need to help you through the whole process. So you really, truly don't need to know all these things.
No, and that's what my language arts program has.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Good and Beautiful. We both
yeah.
use. And they have a teacher's guide. And a lot of times I'm like, that looks right. And then I go check it. I'm like, just kidding. I was
Oops,
just messing
yeah.
with you.
I know. I've done that too. Where you think you know, and hey, guess what? No.
Yeah. So – like, to let that load go. You don't have to know
yeah.
everything. You don't know everything in being a mother, a wife, mm-hmm. a person, a human. Like, it's all a learning experience.
Yeah.
So let that one go.
All right. Next question we have. I'm terrified of being with my kids 24/7 with no breaks. Another fear, not so much of a question, but a fear.
Yeah.
And a big one, and one that we've all experienced.
So when I looked at this question, it was funny to me because I looked at it and I was thinking, you never really are with your kids 24/7, even with maybe a newborn, right? Like a nursing newborn, you are with a lot. But other than that, your big kids go out and play. They sleep. You sleep. And so that thought of I'm going to be stuck with them for 24/7 is not bringing you peace.
Maybe 27 or 18/7.
Right? Like, you're not going to be with them. So it's not all the way true. But if you keep telling yourself, like, I'm always with my kids, mm-hmm. then your brain is going to constantly look like, see, I didn't get a break today. Oh, I didn't get a break again.
Yeah.
So it's kind of first getting into that good headspace. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I don't have to be with them all the time. It is more than people who have their kids in school. So what are some tips, like, because you are with your kids more than the traditional
yeah.
public school kids?
So we've talked about our mom time on another episode. I think that's really important as homeschool
it's
moms.
Our Mother's Day, like, treat yourself.
It was, yeah. And I think that's a huge, huge important episode if you're worried about this, is to figure out how to make some time for yourself. And your spouse will help you with that, or your mother-in-law, or whoever it may be, your mother, they can help you if you don't have anyone home with you. But make some time and build in some breaks for yourself so that you feel less of this worry. And then we have a friend who does quiet time with her kids.
Yeah.
And her kids are bigger. I think her oldest is 10 or
11.
She's 11.
Mm-hmm.
And she still does this with her kids. I think it started with her nap time, but she kept it going so that there's a certain time of day where they have to be completely quiet. And she goes and takes a nap.
It blows my mind.
I know. So the kids have to be perfectly quiet, whether in their rooms or just sitting on the couch, whatever it is, but they can read, they can do only quiet activities. And it happens every single day. And she gets her nap is what she needs to make it through the rest of her day, or whatever it is you need. Maybe you just need to be alone in your room and read for a half hour. Maybe you need a nap. Maybe you just need to go on a run, whatever it might be. Make that time for yourself in some way.
And I was going to say, and do it without guilt, because one
yeah.
of the things I struggle with is I kind of have a scarcity mindset sometimes. Like, I only get my kids for so long, and especially now that they're getting older,
yeah.
I'm like, well, I'm a bad mom if I go and I leave. Like, I'm okay if I leave and dad's there, but if dad's not there, then I'm like, oh, I'm neglecting
yeah,
my kids.
I feel that way too.
And so I've been telling, like, I had to kind of tell myself, it's okay that I want to go do something for myself that's frivolous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe I want to go shopping. Maybe I want to take a nap, right? Those are
right.
things where, like, just leave the house. I want to go drive and eat a cheeseburger in peace, right? Like, whatever it is,
yes.
don't add guilt to it.
Right. Another thing you can do is just to sign them up for some weekday activities where you can drop them off and they're away for an hour or two from you, and you just have that little bit of a break that just helps refresh you.
Yes. I did that after I had my sixth baby. My oldest was only 9, so I had 9 and whatever, 6 kids under 9. And I did. I found a co-op class that was a drop-off. Mm-hmm. And I got an hour and a half or 2 hours. And I would, I mean, I had the baby, but I didn't have the other 5. And it just kind of gave me that refreshed, like, I'm still in this for the long haul. I still love them, but someone else is going to teach you for just a day.
Yeah. And then just finally, you do kind of get used to it.
I love this thought.
When your kids are in school, the thought of bringing them home all the time seems really scary and frightening because you're so used to that alone time. But when you've been doing it for a while, and me, I've never sent my kids to school. It's just sort of a part of my life. And for me, it's kind of the opposite. I get sort of stir crazy when they're gone for long periods of time. And what I don't know quite what to do with myself. So you do get used to it to the point where you miss them when they're gone.
Yeah, absolutely. And they really do, like, and it's funny because my oldest two, they are at work all the time and they're involved in their own things and dating and friends and whatnot. Yeah. And so they will eventually leave. So try to enjoy it. It's easy to say when your kids are a little bit older, as like during when you're in the thick of the little kids' chaos, but you won't always be with them 24/7.
Yeah.
All right, next question. I like this one a lot too. I have tried homeschooling. I like all your questions. I should just practice with that. I have tried homeschooling before and it didn't go well. How do I get over my fear and try again? What a great question. So this was from one of our friends shared it in our co-op class, and John Maxwell, and I looked up who he was, a pastor, kind of a leadership guru. And this is his method for doing something. And so homeschooling in our example. But first you need to start. So you start homeschooling, right? You just start trying it. Your second step is you fail. You probably failed miserably. Kids screamed. You hated it. Like, your hair fell out, right? Like, this is the worst. Then third, you learn from it. What are you going to take from that experience and how are you going to make it better? Then you improve. Like, these are the ways I could make it better. This is the way I could make it work. And five, you try it again. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's such a great little set of steps to help you through something hard.
Because when we started, it wasn't like, we're so good at this.
No, it's never perfect. And I still have miserable, miserable days where I think that I'm terrible at this. So it's normal to have bad days.
And to be super rocky in the beginning.
Yeah, it's normal to have a rough start and to take some time to figure it out, and that's okay.
Yes. Well, I always laugh, like, when my little ones are learning to read, and I still do it when a little monotonous, monotone, like the dog jumped, I don't stay awake for it. It is my white noise, and it's like, slap me in the face, wake up, mom. But it's like, it was tricky for me to stay awake when I have babies and all this stuff. Like, yeah, that was hard, but guess what? My kids can all read now, so they figured it out, right?
Yep. Her 2-year-old can't read.
He cannot.
Don't feel bad.
He doesn't really talk. He's finally just like putting 2 or 3 words together. He's so spoiled.
He's the cutest thing ever.
We were potty training him the other day, and my husband and I laughed and said, we won't even bother until he's older. Like, he's so spoiled. And we don't even care.
That's all right. He's the last.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question we've got is, how do I find the curriculum for what fits each kid's needs? And we both kind of laughed when we saw this question because it's a really hard one to answer.
Yes, we both started with try a bunch and
try a million. And really, that's what both of us did, I think. I know I did. I was thinking about that today as we were preparing for one of the other episodes. But I have been through so many different curriculum options and over the years, and it's kind of a little ridiculous how many I've gone through. But because of that, I have found something now that really works great and I'm really comfortable with and I'm really happy with. And I found it finally. And it takes a couple years sometimes to find that perfect one for every single child. And that's okay, as long as you're still plugging along and still doing your best with what you do have.
Be willing to have a crappy curriculum.
Yeah, it's okay. And you don't have to right away go out and spend the lots of money to get a new one that year if it's not working great. Just roll with it. Take the pieces that do and throw out the pieces that don't. And
sometimes you can sell a curriculum.
Yeah,
too,
definitely.
So you can use it to.
Yeah, there's a lot of like used curriculum sale groups on Facebook, stuff like that. And I know local news classifieds and stuff like that too. So yeah, you can definitely sell it and get the money to get something new. But it usually takes a little bit of trial and error. And what I have done a lot of is going and reading reviews on a curriculum. Because if you know sort of your child's learning style or your preferred teaching method, then you can kind of get the gist of what that one is about by reading the reviews and know whether or not it will be a good fit for that child or for yourself to teach it.
Absolutely. So one of the things somebody said, our friend calls her a mature mom, but her kids were older. And she said, how do you pick all this curriculum? Your curriculum is amazing for all your kids. And she looked at her like, I prayed on it. Like, what else would I do? But prayer is huge.
It is definitely huge.
And so, yeah, like, follow your intuition, follow the spirits, but follow promptings, right? Like, this kid needs this, or this kid needs this, and have some faith. And then know if it doesn't work out, that's fine. It wasn't supposed to work out.
And also, it's totally okay if one kid's using one math and another kid's using a different one. It's not a problem.
Yeah. And then I like to get them involved as much as humanly possible and asking them, like, what are some of your curriculums you'd like to use?
Yeah.
And turning it over to them of what history they want to use. Not history, but like genre of history, right?
Right?
And then I kind of help guide them.
Yeah, and we do that as well, history and science and those kinds of elective topics. I let them pick what they are most interested in.
Yes, and so sometimes it was funny as I was asking my kids, my one son said, I really hate all language arts. It's stupid and it's pointless. And so sometimes they just like, they're going to be grumpy about it and that's okay. And it was funny because he's decided to go and get his eagle. And so he's been working really hard to get his eagle and he had to write this whole thing and his papers and essays. And I said, you know how to write so well because of all the terrible language arts I've made you do over the years.
That's great.
And so it was really fun, even though he was like, ha ha. But at the same time, he realized, oh, there is a practical application for it.
Yeah.
And so he's willing to keep going forward with it, even though he likes to buck the system.
Yeah. All right. And one last question. Go ahead. You can read it.
So this is a really good one. What if my mother, my spouse, my siblings, my neighbor, my in-laws, they disagree with me homeschooling?
Mm-hmm. This is going to happen. Just going to tell you that right up front.
Yeah. Somebody actually wrote on my Instagram, like, you homeschooling hippie, you're what's wrong with society.
Oh, how nice.
Okay, cool. Delete.
That's what's fun about getting comments like that on a blog or Instagram. You have the power to delete and move on. We have to do that a lot. But big thing for me. So if it's your spouse, that's another story. We'll get to that in a second. If it's your sibling, your mom, your mother-in-law, whatever, your neighbor, ignore it and move on because it is not their choice. It is your choice. And you're the one praying about it. You're the one figuring out what is best for your children and your family. And you don't need to worry about what they're thinking. It's hard not to, but you don't need to. You need to move on from that and do what's right for you. I had one of my siblings really disagree with my choice when I first started out and talk to my mom frequently about it, trying to get her to tell me to stop doing this. And my mom said she would not, that she liked what I was doing. And I had hurt feelings from that and I had to move on from that. And it's okay. She won't be listening to this podcast. I know that. But I became okay with it and I moved on from it. And I think she eventually saw that my kids are doing great and they're smart and there have been no problems with them.
That's what's been funny is that some of the naysayers I had in the beginning, they're like, you can't do this. You have too many kids. You've struggled with depression before. Mm-hmm. Like, these are real things and I don't think you can do it. Like, out of the love of our hearts, it wasn't like, you're an idiot. Like,
we're trying to help you.
And it's funny because they are now the biggest loudmouths of like, you guys should see her kids. Mm-hmm. They are so awesome. You all should homeschool. And I'm like, where were you 10 years ago, 12 years ago? Right. And so it's kind of funny with people like that. You just kind of have to turn it off and say like, thank you for your opinion. Mm-hmm. Because what do you say to that? Mm-hmm. Right. Like, thank you for sharing.
I've even had people say that their doctor tells them they shouldn't be homeschooling.
Well, that's interesting.
Which I find so strange. Like, it's his place to say that. Anyway,
Karen's like on her hot button
now. No, my doctor's actually pretty cool about it. But he asks my kids every year, do you like your teacher? And then he laughs and he says, of course you do. You have the best teacher, which is really cute. So my doctor's been really sweet about it. But when it's those kinds of people, just just turn your back, it's move on, don't worry about it.
Immediate family. Mm-mm. And I mean immediate, like who live in your same house.
Who live in your home. It doesn't,
like you're the steward over your children.
Exactly. So now, for your spouse,
it is different. It is definitely different. Because you're both the stewards over your children. Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be some bigger challenges there.
So what we were kind of talking about with this too is that there are lots of things we do in life and like for myself or for my husband where the other one disagrees.
Yeah.
If my husband wants to watch a movie or keep him up past bedtime, I may disagree. Mm-hmm. But sometimes he does it anyway.
Give them soda or sugar cereal. Those are things that I disagree with. Right? But he does it anyway when I'm not home.
Yeah, like health things. Like, I don't think you should feed our kids that. Right? You're probably never going to agree on something 100%. Right. So there is a respect issue of like, I do want to stay married to you and I love you. But I would, if you are feeling like this prompting, like our whole name is called to homeschool because we know so many women are feeling this call.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it is saying, I love you and I respect you, but I'm going to try it anyway. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's not like, oh yeah, I'm going to show you who's boss. And like, it's not like anything like that, but like, I feel called to do this. Please allow me to do this.
Yeah. And I think in those kinds of situations, you can give it a trial run. You know, I've had friends and one of my siblings even went through this and they tried it out for a little while. Maybe you do that over the summer. Mm-hmm. You know, you take a few weeks in the summer where you practice it and see what it's like. Maybe you take a semester where you're trying it and don't put the kids in school. Maybe it's just part-time from school where you just are doing their math and their language arts at home or something like that. And give it a little trial run and show them that you can do it. I know oftentimes husbands, or maybe it's the wife that disagrees, that don't want it to happen because they're already worried about the burdens that are on you. And I've seen that many times where, mm-hmm. like for my husband, for example, he would say, I don't want you to have to take on another thing. You're so full, you're so busy, you're stressed already. And so often it's for you that they're
out of love and concern.
Right.
It's not like, I think you're inadequate. Mm-hmm. It's like, I love you and I want you to be okay.
Right.
So my husband actually in the very beginning hired a cleaner for me and was like, really? Like he had his own concerns. And it's funny, he would totally deny this now because I asked him. I was like, what were your hesitations? He's like, oh no, babe. I was like all in 100%. I was like, oh no, you were not. Like, let me grab my journals. But like he hired a cleaner for me in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And just, I think we had her for 6 months, maybe. I loved her, but she,
her back.
I know. Like, where did you go? But so that was something he felt that he could contribute. Like, okay, mm-hmm. if you're going to go, I'm going to support you. And we tried him homeschooling a little bit. It never really worked. Mm-hmm. Like he's our sole provider. And so it just didn't work with us. So that was his way of saying, okay, I will take this off your plate.
Yeah.
And so,
And often sometimes it's maybe the concern of them not being able to learn fast enough as they would in school or things like that. And that's when, you know, if you do those trials and you show, I had somebody told me that their husband would make them do these standardized testing things just to make sure that their kids were learning enough. And so sometimes, you know, there's those tricky balances, but there's a way to figure it out where you can, you know, communicate together, make a pros and cons list and figure out the benefits or the negatives of both and how it could benefit your family.
It's funny. I've actually done some coaching and where the wife says, will you coach with my husband to let him know it's going to be okay? And even people who are local, like, can we go out to dinner with you and your husband? Yeah. So like, my husband can talk to another man with his.
I've done that as well.
Yes. Yeah. Like your kids aren't social rejects. And like, no, well, mostly just kidding.
For the most part, no.
Yeah. And so just helping with those fears. Those are the questions we covered today. And if you guys have more questions, we'll do another Q&A down the road.
Ask us on Facebook or Instagram or in the comments of our review section on the podcast. And we'd love to hear from you and what you'd love us to talk about next.
All right. You guys are awesome. Have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Called to Homeschool. Be sure to subscribe and we'd love to hear your comments or questions. You can find all our show notes on calledtohome.com.